Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with veteran Los Angeles-based tuba player Jim Self and guitarist John Cialdini. They opened up about their third release together, the new 2022 CD called Hanging Out. The duo is unlikely, yet it works very well. It features special guest trombonist Scott Whitfield, tenor saxophonist Tom Peterson, baritone saxophonist David Angel, and flugelhorn player Ron Stout. They open up about their music, the business of jazz, COVID life, and so much more. Enjoy.
I thank you for taking a minute out for the show today. I appreciate it.
We're happy to do it, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hanging Out is the brand new CD that you've come together on. And before we get to this CD, you know, we've gone through quite a time on planet Earth for the last couple of years. And I'm curious how this album feels to be able to release it on the tail end of this thing. Artists are starting to get back out in the live venues. How does the collective feeling of getting this out mean for you right now?
Well, it's important to us, John, and it's our third album. And this time we added, some guest soloists on it to make it a little bit more interesting. We didn't get together for a while during the pandemic. And then when things eased up, we had our shots and stuff. We started getting together and we planned and rehearsed and recorded this album. We're very happy about it, of course.
So have you had any live shows lately?
Yes, John and I have, yes. We played at a regional tuba conference recently, and we've been playing a couple of times at Trip, a club here in Los Angeles. You know, it's not an easy thing to book stuff, but anyway, we do it, yes, when we can.
What do the crowds feel like? What's the difference now that we're all back? Is there a different buzz, different appreciation from the audience?
Well, I say the one thing we played for was a group of tuba players from all over the western part of the United States. So that was a very friendly crowd, of course. They all know me, and so many are former students and stuff. So that was a big deal. The club thing was pretty small, number of people showing up. So it's, you know, we don't play out a lot. This is mainly just recording guy stuff we do. We're supposed to be touring. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's my big thing. I think that was kind of my precursor to the whole notion of, you know, what do you hope that we all collectively get from the power of live music now that it's returning?
Do you want to say anything about what he's mentioned so far, John?
Well, I had the best time at that tuba conference, I'll tell you. I mean, you can talk about appreciative crowds. It was just the best. They were so enthusiastic about what we were doing. And that just made it great to play, you know. I've only played at a couple of clubs, you know, since the pandemic ended. So I really don't know how that's going. Like Jim said, we had a small crowd at the Trip. I thought we still sounded great. I had a good time playing, too.
Yeah, we always have a good time playing. The clubs are opening up here in L.A. for sure. I don't know what the attendance is on any of it because we don't. John plays a little more than I do. I think you've played the Catalinas, I know, and David Angel's band that I produced a couple of years ago played there last November. It was a huge crowd. It was really excellent. That was almost a year, 6 months ago or so or more. Anyway, so that's sort of where things are, Joe.
Yeah, and David, I noticed is on the album, and man, that album that he put out a few years ago, I still remember. That was such a stellar album.
Yep. One of my masterpieces, I think, as far as my production goes.
Yeah, I would say so. I remember during that period, because that was during the pandemic, that I remember listening to that, and I was just blown away. The sonic power of that album was amazing. So I'm wondering with you two, you know, you said this is your third album together. How did all this begin for you? How did the beginnings of your musical union happen?
Well, we met on David Angel's band. He's the guitarist, and I play tuba and bass trombone on the band. I love guitar. It was my first instrument. I know tuba and guitar sound good together. So I just asked John, let's get together and play some tunes, and it turned into what I kind of call magic, that we just have this musical rapport. And we've been doing this for about 5 years now, and we have 3 CDs about because of it. And we got another one planned with a whole quintet. We're moving.
If I could add, working with Jim has really been wonderful. yeah.
I'm a tuba player, Joe, you know, and that's an unusual jazz instrument. When I get some recognition or some positive feedback from people like John, who are great jazz musicians, that they like what I do, it just lifts me, makes me a happy man.
Talk to me a little bit about Hanging Out. How did you put this album together? What was kind of the artistic vision for this project?
It kind of rolls out. So, you know, we get together a lot of Fridays over the last 5 years and just play. And when we plan an album, we just find tunes we like, and we sort of make little arrangements on them. And John, in case the title tune of this new album was one John wrote called Hanging Out. He wrote essentially as a tuba, a line for the tuba, which I think is couldn't be more perfect, and it became the title of the album too. So and just we like tunes, we like Spain, we have some, if you've noticed on the album, we have some more poppish tunes like Sir Duke and Just the Way You Are, but done in jazz ways, and that's how we sort of fashioned this album, plus the guest soloists.
What's the so you said you're working on a new album now?
Yes, we're going to do a quintet album with we're going to actually have a real rhythm section this time instead of, so I don't have to play bass lines all the time. When I play with John, I play all the time, bass lines, solos, melodies, and it's pretty tiring on a brass instrument. But so we're going to bring we're going to do a quintet with Ron Stout, the great flugelhorn trumpet player who's on David's band, and then we're going to have Kendall Kay on drums and Ken Wild on bass. So we'll have a real quintet. And so this is our next project, which will be a few months away.
We've had one rehearsal, and it was great. Just hearing the sound of it was inspiring.
We're working on another project with Kim Schoenberg, a great writer from back east. It's a whole different kind of band. It's kind of a sequel to an album I made 20 years ago called My America. And it's like destination songs like Kansas City and Chicago, Indiana, New York, State of Mind, tunes like that. And you'll be hearing more about that before the quintet album, probably.
I'm curious, there seems to be a lot of projects, lots of things that are happening right now. When people were at home, it was like they were kind of stepping back and looking at things they may have not completed or things that they wanted to do. Are some of these projects an outgrowth of being home and kind of thinking about what you wanted to do and doing certain projects?
Well, they are for me, and I tend to be the guy that produces them. Like I said, I have almost this urge to get a bunch of things done before I get too darn old and can't play the tuba. So I'm on a, I don't know, on a roll, if you will. The pandemic allowed me to work a lot at my jazz playing and some writing and other things that I had way more time. And I've talked to many musicians around Los Angeles who they either grew during that period as musicians or they got fat. One of the two.
And Jim's on a mission, Joe. And,
I like it.
It's a great mission, I'll tell you. I mean, he's got another project happening before the last one we were working on is finished. It's wonderful.
I got this urge to, you know, to make my instrument a well-known jazz instrument and to have to attract young people to doing it. And hopefully people will like it. I get great reviews. I get to communicate with people like you who have radio shows, and it makes me happy. And I'm going to do what makes me happy the rest of my life, if I possibly can.
You know, I saw a show in January in Kansas City with a local band called the Grand Marquis, and they have a lot of horns in there, and one of them is the tuba. And I remember my wife and I specifically, when that dude came up and got into it, the crowd was all for it. I mean, there is something, I think, about an instrument that you don't see as often on the jazz stage, and when it's done well, and especially with something as powerful as the tuba, I think you pull people in. So I think the fact that you're getting younger players in, because, you know, quite frankly, that's the future. I mean, even with all these kids that have persisted and stayed in school during this pandemic, I mean, this is their future, and I think the tuba would go really well with it.
Well, I teach at USC, and my students during the pandemic had got a lot of these little bands going, sort of like street bands, like New Orleans kind of street bands, with sousaphones, which is a tuba, of course, and playing bass lines, just like the old days, like the Dixieland days. The tuba was a big deal back in the 20s and 30s. It got taken over by the string bass and the electric bass, of course. But I'm finding a real urge among young tuba players to play commercial music, jazz and pop and rock and roll, everything.
You know, Jim, it's like, it's the low frequencies, man. It really is. I think back, and we've talked about this, one of our influences in the band has been the Jerry Mulligan quintet.
Yeah.
Quartet. And we have that, I feel that we go after that same thing. And it's really pleasing to a lot of people.
The baritone sax is pretty much the same range, tessitura, as the F tuba that I play. And so anything that Jerry Mulligan does lends itself to my ears, if you will. And, of course, I love his playing as a melodic kind of player as well as I do. And those are the kind of guys that I'm attracted to, the beautiful flugelhorn players and the blue, Clark Terry's and the Stan Getz's and people like that, because of the beauty of their playing. I mean, Gary Foster, who's been on several of my albums, those kind of people. I want to do that on the tuba, and I want the melodies down low on the tuba where the tuba sounds like a tuba, not like a baritone horn. Anyway,
well, you're doing it, dude.
Anyway, so
what do you ultimately hope the listener gets from this album, and even from successive albums? What do you want them to feel when they either download or buy this album?
I want them to say that that's really good jazz. It turns me on emotionally. It's beautiful. It's in the sense of I'm a classical musician now, and John is classically trained too, but our heart and our love is in jazz. Why not play everything in tune, play it with a beauty, and play like a great singer, That's what I try to do on the tuba. And of course, John is a clone of so many great players before him, like Barney Kessel and Joe Pass and so many others that came before him. Well, we all are products of older and great players, I think.
Yeah, we try to keep the tradition going, With my friends and family, they love listening to this, all three albums that we've made so far. They find it just, like, really great to listen to. In a lot of cases, they say it's really relaxing to listen to. But again, I believe it's the low sound, The way Jim phrases a melody, it's what makes it.
Well, so, it's funny, John has played with a lot of great singers like Peggy Lee and Natalie Cole and so on. And I played with Mel Torme and Frank Sinatra and played in the L.A. Opera. So with great singers like Placido Domingo and people like that. And I listen to them. I listen to how they phrase. And there's something real loose and beautiful about the way they do it. That turns people on, listeners. I mean, whether it's jazz or classical.
I agree. As kind of the elder statesman, so to speak, of jazz, we've talked about keeping the tradition alive and being educators too. I'm curious, from your perspective, how strong do you think jazz is with the younger generations? And with that being said, how do you have any concern about the art form moving forward in the right direction?
That's a tough question. I'm really worried about the fact that nobody buys anything and they don't have CD players anymore. I'm worried about the Spotify's and the other streaming services that steal from the artists. There's more music than ever out there, but it's getting to people for $15 a month. And that's it could kill the performance and the composing because there's nothing in it for us, But on the other hand, if you don't do it, nobody's going to hear you at all. I don't know. You have an answer, Joe? Let me know.
I don't know about the marketing and selling of jazz music, but there's a lot of people, young people, that are playing jazz and putting CDs out, and they sound absolutely wonderful. And they're pushing the envelope like jazz guys have done, you know, from the beginning. And as long as that's going on, I mean, the tradition will continue. Like I said, as far as like what Jim was, you know, referring to, the buying and the selling of our music and everything, I really don't know about that. But it's being made, it's being played.
Hey, Joe, yeah. Can I read you a couple sentences from my last review on this new album, this Hanging Out album?
Please do.
This is from Richard Salvucci with All About Jazz, and it says, quote, "Quite a few reviewers have fixed on Jim Self as a tuba player, which he certainly is. And yes, he can really get around the horn and play jazz, however remarkable one might find that. But the real point, frankly, is that he plays lovely music. Lush, lovely melodies, rich and evocative on his weapon of choice, and beautifully voiced with guitar, trumpet, trombone, into a textured blend that is aesthetically pleasing. Self is a terrific player, expressive, imaginative, and most musical. This is what strikes the listener repeatedly. What a beautiful recording, and a perfect way to end another fraught day." So I love that review.
That is a great review. Yeah.
And it's coming out in a couple of weeks here.
Wonderful. Well, gentlemen, thank you for you know, elongating it a little bit on your process of this album and talking about the world we're living in and even more than that. So thank you for taking some time out today. I look forward to playing it on Neon Jazz.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to both Jim and John for their time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And there you can donate to the cause of keeping this alive and well via Patreon and PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.